working. Now challenge each other.
We want a fight for the world.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live for this Monday here in South Philadelphia. Rainy, rainy, rainy this morning. It's beautiful out there this afternoon. Eagles will have their practice, kind of a twofold practice, as I see it. On the one hand, you're preparing for the New York Jets and playing a lot of reserves who are trying to make the team their last impression to make this football team, to impress the coaching staff, and then keeping an eye on those Cleveland Browns and that September 9th opener that we're all looking so forward to. Last night, a fun time at Lincoln Financial Field, Eagles flight night, a great crowd on hand, and really an outstanding event. Congratulations to the Eagles Youth Partnership, who put on a great show. It was so much fun. Players showed a ton of personality, and we're going to show that touchdown dance. Brian Roll got the second most cheers. Michael Vick, of course, back on the football field. Just a really good time. And it all went to a great cause, of course, Eagles Youth Partnership. It's great to see Vick on the field. Said afterward that he felt great. A lot of laughs, a lot of just players. You get a sense here. You know, they hadn't had flight night in 2 years. How many players, for them, it was their first ever flight night? I mean, the roster has turned over so much. Young, talented team. Looking forward to the Jets on Thursday. And roster cuts, we still got to get down to 75 players. So the Eagles must release four today by 4 o'clock. And then by Friday at 9, another 22 players hit the roads. And then you get down to 53. In the meantime, Howie Roseman's working the phones. We know that. He and Andy Reid are doing their due diligence and trying to get this roster as good as it can be. Great show for you today. We hear from Juan Castillo, Marty Mornhinweg. We're going to go down the top 10 plays of the preseason, as deemed by us. You know, we made the rules. We made the list. We'll see if you agree. We want you to call in, 215-339-6709. We have a hot topic that we are talking about. I think everybody's talking about it. Every Eagles fan wants to know. We are all fixated on the quarterback position. Michael Vick is the starter. Who, in your estimation, should be the number two quarterback on this team? Hit us up on Twitter, at Eagles Insider with the hashtag EaglesLive. Who should be the number two quarterback? Should it be Mike Kafka, who will take some snaps and has been cleared and probably will play on Thursday? Should it be rookie Nick Foles, who's been so impressive? Two interceptions in three games, 6 touchdowns. Or should it be Trent Edwards? I don't know. He's played pretty darn well, I think. So, hit us up on Twitter. Let's start on the phones now. Then we're going to get to our headlines. Let's go to Chicago and talk to JR. Hi, JR.
Hey, Dave. What's going on, my man?
Everything's fine, JR.
Hey, man. You did a great job last night, man. I checked it out online, man.
Hey, good
boys, man. I'm waiting for you to be on the big screen, man. I'm looking to turn on Good Morning America and this day is Spadaro.
I'm an Eagle, JR. Why would I want to go anywhere else?
Hey, man, I'm just saying. But to answer the question, hot topic, man, I think it's Foles, hands down. I mean, the kid been so poised. He's great arm, accuracy, seems to be smart. You know, I think he definitely deserves that number two job, man. So I'm definitely rooting for him. You know, I actually gave him a nickname. I gave him Axel Foley, you know, because he's just the coolest dude. You know, so that's the one I'm going with. Another thing, Dave, I still haven't received my gift from training camp, man, my autograph prize.
You will, my friend. Don't you worry about that. We got you. Well, in fact, we're gonna call a special meeting after this show and get that out to you. Make sure. I know you sent your address into the web address, so we'll take care of it. Here's the question, though, JR. Here's the question. What do you do if you keep Nick Foles at 2? Who's your number 3?
I'm going to go with Trent.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I got, man. So I'm going to let some other calls get in, Dave, have a great evening.
You got it.
Thank
you, Jared. We'll take care of it.
And I, you know, the thing about Nick is if he's your number two, and you know, this is a really huge challenge for the coaching staff because you want to keep Nick sharp and whoever the third quarterback is as well, or the second quarterback. I'm not sure how they've arranged these. I mean, I believe Dave Spadaro believes that Nick Foles should be the number two quarterback as well. I agree with that. But how do you keep him sharp if during the course of the season, the starter gets 95% of the reps in practice? So it's really, really important that Nick understands how much time he has to spend in the film room and how much time he has to devote to the mental part of the game. Now, Mike Kafka is somebody who we're all looking at. He has been cleared to take snaps. Let's go live to the locker room and hear from Kafka meeting with the Philadelphia media, talking about Thursday night and the possibility that he'll play against the Jets.
I mean, it's a strange element of the game, you know?
Yeah, football is crazy like that.
How do you feel about it, right? I mean, obviously, Nick and Trent have played well in their opportunities because you and Mike have been hurt. So do you feel like there's a job security issue now?
For me, I'm just worried about, you know, today at practice, going out there, you know, doing my job, you know, and working around some of those things that, the injury a little bit and working around that, get some snaps and just get some quality reps.
How tough is that situation when you're, you know, not able to be out there and you do see some other guys doing well, just mentally, the mental part of that?
I think you can go two ways. You know, the way I approached it was learning from as much as I could. And you know, you can definitely get better by watching. So I worked on that and did that.
Do you feel any more or less secure because of what the other guys have done?
I think well, right now, you know, like I said, I'm just worried about practicing today. Mm-hmm. I can only control my opportunities I get today in practice.
Has that always been your mindset? I mean,
yeah, that's the only way you can approach it, really.
Mike, how is the hand feeling? I mean, I'm sure you've answered it already, but how is the hand feeling right now?
It's feeling good. Feeling good. Ready to take some snaps.
What's the difference in it? Can you explain that at all? Like, pain way or
yeah, we don't really talk about injuries like that. So if Coach Reed had said anything, you can ask Coach Reed.
Do you feel like you have something to prove the next when you can throw and play again?
I mean, every time you play, every time for any position, you know, you always want to go out there and do your best effort. So I'm just taking one day at a time today in practice and go from there.
You were throwing with more strength, you know, in the mini camps, and training camp when you started. Was it frustrating to get injured at that moment
Any injury is tough. So, you know, you got to deal with it and overcome it. And, you know, I think I'm doing a good job of that.
If you play Thursday, will you be playing at the level that you would play healthy? Or is it kind of the thing you're...
Yeah, I'm just going to, like I said, one day at a time today, you know, work through it today in practice and get better today in practice.
Mike, watching them and not playing the last few weeks, have you learned... I mean, has it helped you in any way, not being out there and actually just
absolutely? You can always learn. You can always learn from the good, the bad. So you know, those things I've been, you know, just taking notes on and taking some good mental reps.
Can you give me an example? Maybe one thing that maybe you know, just watching.
Just as far as like protections and stuff like that, and different blitzes. You can always pick up one or two things.
Have Andy talked to you at all about the situation and you know the fact that you're dealing with the injury and where?
Yeah, we spoke.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so it is all business for Mike Kafka. I mean, everybody understands the situation. Now, I think if all goes well this week, he's obviously going to play on Thursday night. Foles, I would guess, would play as well. Edwards, we'll see if he plays, but I would think he would play a little bit too. I don't know who would start. We'll find that out a little bit later in the week here. But, you know, it's a tough decision for the coaching staff. Want to get your input on it? Look, the good news here, it's just we all talked about coming into this. I guess my perspective, coming into the season, well, there's nothing really proven here. We don't know what we have at backup quarterback. I feel a lot better after watching Nick Foles play for three games that the Eagles have a good idea of what they have. Now, with Kafka, coaches believe in him a lot. He's got to go out and do it. And my guess would be that he would play a substantial amount if he plays on Thursday night. I mean, you really want to give him some reps. If he's on your roster, if he's your two or three, very important that he gets some of that rust knocked off prior to September 9th. Let's go back to the telephones. Adam is no longer there. He's off. Kill him. Yeah, so Mike Kafka, you know, hey, mobile guy, athletic, decent arm, very smart. Eagles, they think highly of him. They also think highly of Trent Edwards and what he's done. Obviously, everyone thinks highly of Nick Foles. I just think it's a great time. I love this time of the year. Last week of the preseason, roster gets cut down. You know the Eagles are going to make a trade. I mean, they just do. Big trade for the Colts yesterday. Almost just about this much disappointment that all those tweets from Robert Irsay, it wasn't about the big trade with the Eagles, because I always expect Ryan Grigson and Howie Roseman to do deals. Instead, it was Vontae Davis, a cornerback who I knew the Eagles liked going into that draft a couple of years back. I believe that was the 2010 draft, the Jeremy Maclin draft. Knew they liked him. No, that was 2009 was Maclin. Maybe Vontae Davis was 2009. Miami, the Colts, not the Eagles. But the Eagles, I do believe they will make trades this week. Why? Not that I have any inside information, but they always make trades. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to go through the top 10 plays of this 2012 Eagles preseason. Then we'll hear from offensive coordinator Marty Mornhinweg, defensive coordinator Juan Castillo also on the docket. And we'll get an update from Michael Vick and keep you tuned in to what's going on in the locker room. The final week of the preseason is here. Some news to get to. Actually, let's get to headlines, Fran, because I don't think we've actually done that yet. Before we go to break, here you go. Roster 78, four cuts needed by 4 p.m. I've got my phone ready, my iPhone ready at the waiting. Michael Vick saying last night, I feel great. Kafka ready to take snaps. He will do so today at practice. Akeem Jordan, your starter at the weak side linebacker position. Preseason finale against the Jets Thursday, 6:30. So our coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com begins with a kickoff show at 6 p.m. Note the earlier time, people. Tune in to Philadelphia on 6 ABC. You can also tune into our coverage on PhiladelphiaEagles.com before, during, and after the game. We're coming right back. Top 10 plays of the preseason up next here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Eagles fans, here's your chance to meet the newest member of the Philadelphia Eagles and Angry Birds flock, the mighty Philadelphia Eagle. It's the Meet the Mighty Philadelphia Eagle presented by Coke Zero. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/backtofootball to see where he'll appear. Take a picture with the Eagle, upload it to the Eagles' official Facebook page, and you could win Eagles season tickets. See PhiladelphiaEagles.com for the official rules.
Concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is people like options. I mean, you take GEICO. You can call them anytime you feel like saving money. It don't matter, day or night. Use your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever. The point is, you have options. How convenient.
Oi, crab cakes. What are you looking at?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Eagles are 3-0 in this preseason, one game to go on Thursday night against the New York Jets. We took some time out to list our top 10 plays of this Eagles preseason, one filled with big moments and plays to remember. Coming in at number 10, early in the preseason, the opener against the Steelers, cornerback, the rookie from Georgia, Tim, the Steelers, gets to the outside, returns it 46 yards to the 38-yard line. The Eagles sideline, who uses his speed to get to the edge and up the field. Play number 9 comes from the defense. Cedric Thornton lowers the boom on Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. A great inside move from second-year man Thornton, who uses his hands to get free and get to the quarterback. At number 8, it's Phillip Hunt off the edge, the second-year man out of the Canadian Football League, having a great preseason, and he reaches quarterback Byron Leftwich, forces the fumble, and that is a theme that we've seen throughout the preseason, pressure from the D-line and big plays all around. Coming in at number 7, rookie quarterback Nick Foles, looking downfield, feeling the pressure, heaving it up for wide receiver DeSean Jackson, who goes up and makes the leaping grab and then celebrates afterward. A 40-yard gain, Jackson using his speed to get open, and then the nice box-out move to make the catch from quarterback Nick Foles. Our number 6 play comes from the defense once again. Derek Landry bursts free from the inside, ending the Cleveland Browns' first drive on Friday night, forcing the fumble, nearly recovering it. Trent Cole makes the recovery, and a dominating play there from Derek Landry. Back to the offense for number 5. It's Foles down the left sideline for wide receiver Marty Gilliard, who goes up, up, and makes the catch, stays in bounds, and scores the touchdown. A highlight to remember for Gilliard, and an eye-opening play from Foles. At number 4, the special teams again step up. This time, it's linebacker Keenan Clayton, who breaks free, gets in on the toe of punter Reggie Hodges, takes the football away on the punt. It is recovered by Curtis Marsh, and it leads to an Eagles touchdown. Big play for the Eagles special teams. Our number 3 play comes from the offense. Rookie wide receiver Demaurice Johnson beats veteran cornerback Sheldon Brown for the big play down the field, creates separation, turns his body, and makes a falling down catch of a Nick Foles pass. A great play by number 13. Our number 2 play, Alex Henry, with the game on the line, 51 yards out. It's up and it's good to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is our number 2 play. Henry's kick right down the middle for the game-winning points. Our number 1 play, Nick Foles, rookie quarterback, once again finds his favorite target, Demaurice Johnson. Scrambling to his right, he sees Johnson in the clear. Johnson makes the catch and then runs away from the Steelers' defense to complete the 70-yard touchdown play. Foles to Johnson, names you've heard throughout the preseason and that you're likely to hear again on Thursday night. Touchdown Eagles, the number 1 play of this 2012 preseason. Offensive coordinator Marty Morningwig about to meet the media, talking about the Eagles, the offense that now welcomes Michael Vick back to the lineup. That is one part of the offensive equation. The other part is getting ready for Thursday night against the Jets, the preseason finale. Let's go to Marty Morningwig in the auditorium talking about the Eagles' offense.
All right, that last ball game, first we have a, you saw the game, we have an awful lot of hard work left to do. However, there were some excellent things, both as an offense and as groups and as individuals. Some really good things. And we do have to clean some things up. We did clear up the penalty situation. I believe we had two on offense, which is still too many. We had one down there that was important. But in any case, we've got a lot of hard work left to do. We've got to, we're right in the middle of this last week of the preseason is always it's double duty, sort of. We've got a certain a group of players that are playing this game, and it's really important to them. It's important to our football team and our organization. And then on the other hand, we've got a certain amount of players that are helping the other players do the best that they can do in a game. So they're helping them, and also they're starting on Cleveland. And that's the same with the staff. So it's sort of double duty here this week, and that's the way it normally is in the last week of the preseason. Important game for many players. So that is our main focus there. It's our last evaluation on many of these players as well. So this is an important game for our football team. Let's open up to questions.
Marty, how's Mike Kafka coming along? Do you expect him to play in his game?
Don't know that yet. Have we released anything?
No.
Okay. The only thing I can say, because this is the only information I have right now, and it just came right before the walkthrough, is he's cleared to take snaps. Okay, so from then on, that'll be, so I'm going day to day, practice to practice, on what other clearance he may get, and that'll be up to our head coach, Andy Reid, and Rick Burkholder, our trainer, and the doctor, certainly. So that's the only information I have on Mike yet, up to date, yeah.
Marty, can you assess, you know, what you've seen in the preseason, where you think the ones are at the first team offense?
Yeah, we've got some work to do there. Again, very similar to last game. We've done some excellent things as an offense, and certain groups, and certain individuals have done some outstanding things. We've got to tie that together, and you can only do that with preparation and the hard work. And so you get those three things, and I'm talking about talent, and then the hard work and preparation, and then you put no cap on yourself, and that's our philosophy and mentality that we have. And we've got some hard work to do to get ready for the regular season.
How will Vic approach this week? He's not going to play on 100%. What's the best course of action for him to take?
Well, I think he's real close to 100%. I thought he threw the ball last night just beautifully. Threw it strong and aggressively. So I think he's ready to rock and roll now. Yeah, you know. So that's my point on that. I think he's ready to go. I think he would have played in the game if it was a regular season game. I don't know that for sure, but that was just my thought at the time.
With the rib, the game with the ribs?
Yeah, the rib, right? Yeah.
Marty, how do you go about the process of figuring out who's going to stay and who's going to go with the last quarterback? Yeah, Kafka's only really had 9 snaps in the preseason, and some of the guys in his stead have really good.
Well, we haven't come to that decision. We've got some days of practice and the last preseason game to evaluate that and discuss it and those type. I think we discussed this early in training camp. We've got a host of running backs that are very good. I think we've got 4 quarterbacks that really can play at a high level, and so those are good things. Those are good things that you have to come to a decision on at some point here, and it's coming up pretty quick.
How much does preseason performance weigh in on these decisions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the preseason games you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything's important. everything is important. Every play, every snap, every throw, every choice that a player makes in at any position, but certainly the quarterback. And however, the game simulations are key evaluations. You know, players at every position typically are either better or worse in a game. Well, you want those guys that are better in the game, you know, the gamers, you know. And so it really shows up sometimes at the quarterback position that way.
Just to clarify, Kafka will need additional evaluation clearance to be able to play Thursday night?
You know, I don't know all of that. The only thing I got this morning was that word that he's cleared to take snaps. So that's all. That's as far as I can go there. I'm sure I'll get specific information here coming up today.
Foles the number two quarterback going into the season?
Excuse me?
Is Nick Foles the number two quarterback?
Well, that choice has not been made, and we've got several different things to evaluate there. We've got practices coming up and the last preseason game as well. I certainly have great confidence in all of our quarterbacks to do all of the jobs that we would ask them to do, you know, the backup and the number three. I have got great confidence in all of our quarterbacks to do that. Doug Peterson has done just an outstanding job with all four of the quarterbacks. Yeah,
Mark, could you just keep eight offensive linemen, or do you need nine? Or does it depend on?
Those are choices that we will make upcoming. I think we're getting just a little bit ahead of ourselves with eight or nine, and then in every spot, you know, that you could keep one more or one less. Special teams has a big influence on players making this football team as well. If you may go heavy at one position because you have one or maybe even two excellent special teams players there, and you may go light at another position because a player or two just didn't play special teams at the level that we wanted them to play as well.
How do you feel about those guys on the second team offensive line right now?
Oh, excellent. Coach Mudd's done just an outstanding job with the guys up front. I think there's going to be some tough choices at several positions. I think maybe that was what we were getting to there. I think we certainly have some fellas that may not make this team that will play elsewhere and quite possibly play at a high level. So those are some tough choices coming up. But those are good things. Our personnel department's done an outstanding job of filling our roster.
What did King do to separate himself during?
He played at a consistent level. Now, he's got some past history as well. Now, I will say that when he's played in ball games in the recent past history, he's done a fine job. And so we were looking for a high level of play, which he's shown that he's capable of doing on a consistent basis. And he's done that really throughout training camp, especially once that first week. And then all of a sudden he was playing pretty consistently. Yeah, he's done a good job. I've got great confidence in King. Because some of it's past history. He's done it before for us as well. Yeah.
Marty, we talk about gamers. Does Trent Edwards qualify? Starting out with the Eagles, you know, maybe had some struggles early, but in the game, he's done pretty well.
Yeah, he sure has. Yeah, I think he's a gamer. I there's no question he's got some natural instincts, you know. I think his experience has shown as well. You've been to all of our practices, so you see that he gets very, very few reps. And that was the thought with him going in, and he understood his role, that he was going to get very few reps, and then I expect him to go in a game and perform at a high level, and he's done that. He's done just a beautiful job, just like I expected him to do, and just like he expected himself to do, and all his teammates and all the coaches expected. And so he's done a fine job. You know, he goes all the way back to Los Gatos High School, down in the Bay Area. And so I've known about him for a long time and followed his career through Stanford and certainly Buffalo. And you can see, I don't mean to ramble, but you can understand why he started for a long period of time, because he's got some of those natural instincts and he does it the right way. And he There's not many surprises with him. He's quite disciplined and has some natural ability and natural instincts.
Marty, do you see a scenario where if Mike Kafka is unable to play Thursday night, he would still go into the regular season as your number two?
All of those are possibilities. Yeah, there's no question. All of those are possibilities. We've had very few discussions on that up to date. There has been some, but very few. So
we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it, huh?
Last time we were here, you spoke about Chris Polk. There's discussions possibly about him as a lead blocker. Has there been any advancement in that? Has he actually practiced there?
No. However, I do think he would be able to do it if we asked him to do some of those things. He's a very physical player. He's an outstanding player. And he's shown in the preseason his style of play. I love how he goes about his business on the football field.
What kind of role can Demaris Johnson have on this football team?
Well, we'll see. He's in a battle right now. He has shown dynamic ability. And see, guys his size, there's not many that can play in this league. All right, so you have to be special in sometimes two categories, certainly one category. And he has shown that dynamic ability and some of the things that you need to have to play at his size. All right, now his challenge is to play on that level on a real consistent basis. And he's got to be consistent for us to help this football team. And so that's his challenge right now.
Two more, please. No more? Good.
Very good.
Just something about the Meadowlands, man. There's something about that stadium, something about New York that kind of always triggers the best in myself.
Winning takes care of everything. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
Win. We got to keep working, roll our sleeves up, and get the work done in practice, and be kind of a blue collar team.
The 25 Under Club.
We got it, baby. Yo, we got it.
It's all about bringing your A game and understanding what it takes to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light.
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really... really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges?
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
That's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredient.
So anyway, I've been to a lot of places. You know, I've helped a lot of people save a lot of money. But today, things have been a little strange.
Meep meep.
Meep meep. What a strange place.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Flanked by Roy Hello and also Cooley, who takes the catch. Takes the catch and he is belted down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat. Asamoah just leveled him for a two-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
If we said a pledge of allegiance before each game, this is what it would be. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro with you. Got a couple things we want to promote for you. The hot topic here, and we're talking about the quarterback situation. So make sure you give us a little shout on at Eagles and at the Eagles Insider as I put my IFP back in. Who is the number two quarterback here? Just tweet us and use the hashtag EaglesLive. We're getting some good responses here. Who do you think is the number two quarterback on this roster behind Michael Vick? Again, send us a tweet at Eagles Insider, at Eagles, hashtag Eagles Live. I've heard from Marty Mornhenweg. We'll hear from Juan Castillo in a bit, talk about the defense. I a little nervous, yeah. Feeling it a little bit. Only because I wanted to see Michael and that offense come out roaring in the preseason. Just never got the chance to do it. So all of a sudden he's going to play a full game against the Cleveland Browns in less than 2 weeks. The countdown is on, isn't it, everybody? Eagles regular season football right around the corner. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. Yeah, we believe in you, Michael. Just stay healthy. Yes, sir. Thumbs up. All right, he won't play Thursday night, but there will be some players on the field on Thursday against the New York Jets that, look, it's make it or break it time. One of those players is certainly second-year man Jaquan Jarrett, second-round draft pick last year. Does he make this 53-man roster? Saw him struggle early in the preseason against the Steelers. Seems to have gotten a lot better. Talked to him in the locker room about his situation, about where he's at, about what's ahead.
My friends, mm-hmm. coaching staff, my teammates support me. And you always got to thank the man above because he always got your back.
All right, were you going to kind of relying and leaning heavily on that group after that Pittsburgh game?
Or? Always. You know, I never lose faith in my teammates and myself or my family because they're never going to lose faith in me. Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of resolve did it take for you to bounce back the way you have in the last couple of games and to shore up the things that you want to work on?
It's all about just focusing in, locking in, continue to get better every day, you know, going out there one day at a time, one play, and just working.
How tough is it that you go through OTAs, you go through training camp, and you're doing well, and then you have that experience where in a couple snaps, you know, things don't go the way that you'd hope to?
I mean, you know, that's what comes with the territory. Sometimes you don't make the plays that you need to make. And you go back and look at the film and you see why you didn't make them, and then you go into practice knowing that this is what you need to work on.
How far do you think you are from being the player that the coaches expect you to be?
You know, I'm going to continue to work every day. You know, I don't have an exact date or time or how far I am away from it, but I'm going to continue to work every day.
I mean, do you feel like you're pretty close to it, though? You just, as long as when you get on the field for an extended period of time, that it would be evident right now?
I mean, it always comes with just repetition, you know. Studying, working hard, and repetition is always going to be the key. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about being kind of even-keeled and all that kind of stuff, but at the same time, I mean, it's your career on the line, you know what I mean? I mean, that has to be an emotional process to be going through, you know, what NFL players go through, especially if you're wondering, you know, where do I fit on this team kind of thing.
You know, I haven't thought about it, you know. I'm just taking it one day at a time, you know. I got practice, studying film, and getting out there and working every day. So that's all I've been working on, focuses on, is getting better every day.
Okay. What will Thursday night be like for you, getting a chance to start and knowing that you'll be in there early in the game?
It's going to be exciting, you know, to get out there and have fun and enjoy the game with my teammates.
Some changes for the Eagles defense. Akeem Jordan in as the starter on the weak side of the linebacker position. No Mike Patterson for the foreseeable future. So Juan Castillo's got some things to work on with this defense. He meets the media across the way at the NovaCare Complex.
Hey, Juan. Yvonne, what made you go with Hakeem Jordan on the weak side?
Well, you know, Hakeem Jordan has probably had had one of the better training camps since I've been around. You know, made a lot of plays, very productive. You know, we grade our players every day, and Hakeem's been making plays, and he just deserved a chance. You know, he's worked hard. I think the key thing is he's been very productive in games and practices. He's graded out very highly, very high.
Spot before, but not this camp. Did you want to see him at all?
Well, I think the thing with Hakeem before, where he was always valuable, is that he was always a kid that could play all three positions. And that's why he's been valuable. The thing is that this year, he's been, you know, from the first week, he said, wow, he made a play. Well, you know, initially, you know, you say, okay, you know, God, he's great. He's going to be a fourth guy. And then all of a sudden, a scrimmage again. Man, Hakeem, boy, graded out pretty high. Making plays, making tackles, recognizing things, getting everybody lined up. And so all of a sudden, it just continued, and it has continued. And really, he's playing, I mean, at a top level, better than he's ever has, you know, as an Eagle, and he's been rewarded.
How different are those two positions? How easy will he be able to transition over?
Well, you know, a lot of times, too, with the tight end motioning, it ends up becoming that the Will becomes a Sam, the Sam becomes a Will. So really, they're interchangeable.
Where does Jamar fit in? Because, I mean, obviously, if he was healthy, Andy has said he would have had a shot competing at
well,
that.
Well, you know what, before he got hurt, you know, Jamar was also, I mean, those guys were, there's been a lot of good competition in camp, and especially at the linebacker position. You know, with Nico coming in there and giving them the leadership and showing them how to study and how to work and all those things, it really, with those young kids, there's been a lot of good competition. You know, Jamar had a good camp. Unfortunately, he got, you know, that hamstring, but he was having a good camp too right there with Hakeem. Brian's had a solid camp, but Hakeem was very productive, and you know, coach going in talked about competition and the guys that were going to be productive and making plays. He was going to give them an opportunity, you know, to play, and Hakeem earned it. I mean, you know, like I said initially before, it was like, oh man, that's a good play. Oh, good job, Hakeem. Oh man, that's a heck of a play. That's a nice job. Good position, good play. You know, there's a couple of plays in the Patriot game that he matched up with a receiver, and I mean, did a great job. You know, you're like, whoa. You go back and watch it again, and you say, now wait a minute. He's been doing all the whole camp consistently, playing at a top level, and he earned the opportunity.
In terms of the timing of it, why now? At a point before the fourth preseason game when the starters won't go.
Well, the thing is, and like I said before, just because of the tight end movement, I mean, there's times where the Sam becomes the Will and the Will becomes the Sam. And like I said, Keem's been one of our top reserve guys where that he would be the next guy in line wherever. We would plug him in everywhere. So we feel that, you know, he'll practice a position and we feel that it shouldn't be a problem.
How much are you anxious to get away from the rotating linebacker? You know, just get that solid base.
Well, you know, the thing that we'd like to do is that, you know, last year, a lot of those guys played. There's a lot of different. You have base, you have first and second down, Buffalo we call it. You have third down nickel. You have third down dime. So there's a lot of positions, you know, where, you know, we have some good athletes there and some good competition there that, you know, we'd like to be able to use as many of those guys that are worthy, that have earned an opportunity to play.
What have you seen from Jaquan after he's trailed in that first preseason game?
You know what? Really, I've seen the same thing as far as the practices. You know, very physical. Like I said, we talked about after that game, you know, he came back and had a very physical practice. And he's feeling comfortable at the positions, made some good plays, and he just continues to get better.
How much is it going to hurt you to not have Mike Patterson in there in the beginning of the year, at least in the beginning of the year?
You know, Mike P's got a lot of heart now. You know, Mike P still, he comes to our meetings. You know, we have Mike P. Mike P's on our door. You know, I mean, we talk about turnovers, you know, and he had a fumble and picked it up and holding it the right way. And so we have him. He's right on the wall. You know, that's how much we think about him. So, you know, that part, you know, hurts. You know, the thing that we're very fortunate, as you guys know, is that we have a few defensive linemen that are right now competing for the, you know, I mean, there's eight starters. So they're all competing for those spots.
How has Brandon Boykin looked to you in the last couple preseason games?
Playmaker. You know, he has a lot of ability. He's getting more comfortable with our system, and you can see that Brandon gets close enough to a receiver to make a play, whether it's to get a pass breakup or to make an interception in practice.
Is he pushing Joselio still?
There's good competition there, yes.
Nate Allen left the flight night practice last night with a hamstring. Do you expect to have him at practice today?
Unless you have to talk to our trainer about that, I'll find out here later.
Can you talk about the depth you have on the defensive line and how you think they can train so far?
Well, you know what? It's exciting. I mean, there's a lot of competition, and it's going to go to the last, probably to the last minute. And I think there's still some things. You know, some of the guys are going to play in the Jets game. You know, there's a lot of competition. We hope everything kind of irons itself out. But as you guys know, I mean, there's a lot of competition there, which is a really great thing to have as a team.
What have you seen from Brandon Hughes and Curtis Marsh playing outside there as a three?
You know what? They're competitors. I think you saw that last week in the Browns game. They tested them, and you know they'll get up and they both will get up in your face and challenge you. And really, they've done that all camp, and we're excited about both those guys. You know, and as they continue to grow, but both those guys are competitors, and that's what we want. They challenge the receivers and compete.
Are you comfortable that one of those guys can really assert himself as the third outside guy?
Yes.
Juan, can you talk about the decision not to let go of Cliff Harris and what was holding him back ultimately from Nick?
Well, you know, the thing is that some of those other kids there have had some good camps. I mean, you're still looking, there's still some good competition there. You haven't brought up Trevard. You know, Trevard's having a quiet, good camp. You know, you saw him in the Cleveland game. So there's some good competition back there, in the back end too. I think that was Howie's and Coach Reed's goal was to bring enough guys so that they could compete at every position and have a good camp, and that's what we've had.
First play in the Cleveland game, they threw right to Nnamdi's side. Is Nnamdi still playing at a level where he's a top cornerback?
You know, I think Zach, you know, that every corner, the elite corners, have a ball and you know, they get a ball caught on them every so often. I mean, that's football. Unfortunately, I think the thing that was important for us is in that game was that they made a big play on us. And then what happened is somebody else rose up to the occasion and they got 0 points. You know, that's what we've been preaching. I mean, in games, things happen, penalties in the first couple of games and third downs. But what happened there is somebody else was able to make a play. You know, we had a couple of penalties there too, but somebody made a play. All right, so all of a sudden they get 0 points in the red zone. That's the key. Then we come back the next series and they're out of there. So now I think that was a good thing to see.
In both games, a disproportionate amount of the penalties were on the defensive side.
Right.
Is this an issue at this point?
Well, it's something that we're working on to correct. The thing is that they've been full speed. I mean, it's not because of a lack of effort. You know, the guys are working hard, and the thing that has to happen is if you do have a penalty in a drive and it keeps the drive going, then somebody's got to make a play, all right, to get us back on track, meaning a turnover, just like we had the other night. You know, we had three of them the other night, but those are the things that we're preaching, because penalties are going to happen. Now, you don't want them to happen, and you don't want very many, but, you know, they do happen, and now to keep your composure as a group, you know, as a team, right? We're playing as a team, so everybody takes care of everybody. You know what I mean, Les? So that somebody gets a big play here where, you know what, somebody else comes back and they make a play and they make up for it. That's what we're trying to preach in our meeting room, that things happen.
Two more, please.
There's been a lot about the defensive line and all the stacked it is. What do you need to see from some of the guys last preseason?
Well, we've been seeing the games, you know. You know, they're coming off the ball, you know, washing, crushing, and closing. You know, they're just not pass rush. That's why he talks about it's a rush. Is that if somebody tries to block them, they're going to squeeze that block. See, so they are playing the run, and close means if nobody blocks them, that they're going to squeeze. So that's basically what they've been doing. So we want to just continue to see, and there's going to be some tough decisions. And like I said, it'll go right to the last minute probably.
What do you think about this linebacker group you have now? Why is this a good?
They're athletic, Les. You know, they can run. They're tough. They're hungry. And I think with Miko, Miko has that experience. You know, and what he's added is that now all of a sudden the kids see how they're supposed to watch tape, how they're supposed to act on the field, how Miko's a no-nonsense type guy. You know, so now here they're looking at a guy that's been in the league that's done it, and now he's showing them how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to study. Now you take that mixed with athletic kids, athletic guys. Now you have a good group, and like I said, we have a good group, and they're competing. It's going to be some tough decisions there too.
Okay. Thank you, man.
All right, so that is Eagles defensive coordinator Juan Castillo. All business. We want your phone calls, 215-339-6709. What's going on with you guys? How do you feel about this football team in the last week of this 2012 preseason? Now we're going to switch things up just a little bit and have some fun. F-U-N. That was the theme last night at the Eagles flight night. Lincoln Financial Field, great crowd on hand. Kids, when you get them in the stands, they make so much more noise than you people. You realize that? Anyway, one of the fun events was the touchdown dance-off. And the idea was, hey, if you could and there was no penalty, what would you do after scoring a touchdown? Handful of players went through the dances, and you will be shocked at who busts the best move on this football team. Let's check it out from last night's Eagles flight night.
All right, where's the camera? All right, here we are. We are going to judge by an audience applause. First up is Chad Hall. Chad, do you think you have an advantage in this competition?
A huge advantage. They don't expect it from me.
I hope you have a bigger advantage than your height, buddy. All right, you're up. Ladies and gentlemen, Chad Hall! All right, up next, we got Marty Gilliard. Hold on, Marty. Do you have a mental plan right now of how you're going to top MC Hammer backflip?
You can't top that, man. He flipped in the end zone.
He said you can't top that, but Marty is up. MV, let it fly! All right, apparently the crowd says that doesn't top a backflip. All right, up next, we got B-Roll in the house. All right, B, are you ready to rock?
I'm nervous.
Hey, tell everybody where you went to school.
The Ohio State.
Ladies and gentlemen, representing the Ohio State in a dance-off, B-Roll. Ladies and gentlemen, B-Roll! All right. Hey, a lot of hype coming right here in the crowd. We got Rogers Cromartie. Jit is in the house, known to be the dancer of the team. Do you even want to say a word? You're dancing, do the talking. All right, he's up. Rogers Cromartie. All right. You all know him as Shady McCoy. We know you can run the ball, but can you dance the ball?
Once you know, like in the end zone, I like to do the bounce. All right, here we go. The Shady Bounce. LeSean McCoy. All right. This might be a crowd favorite of this stadium. We got DeSean Jackson representing the University of California. DeSean, let it rip. DeSean Jackson, give him a round of applause. All right, I need everybody in the stadium to help judge. If you think the backflip from Chad Hall deserves a winner, let me hear you scream. All right. Marty Gilliard, if you think Marty's deserving of a championship, let me hear you scream right here. Marty's out. All right, we got a little MC Hammer. What about B-Roll? Ah, that ain't Chad Hall. We got LeSean McCoy with the Shady Bounce. Let me hear you scream. I don't know. Hold on. DRC, let me hear you scream. All right, we got DeSean Jackson. Let me hear it. All right, hold on. Here we go. We got a little tie. We need to hear it loud. If you want Chad Hall, let me hear you scream. All right. If you want DeSean Jackson, let me hear you scream. Oh, hold on. Hold on. If you think both Chad Hall and DeSean Jackson deserve the dancing championship, let me hear you scream. Chad Hall, D-Jack, thank you.
Well, you'll notice that as the host of the Flight Night, the MC, I was not part of the touchdown dance. There's no way I could compete with Chad Hall and Brian Roll and DeSean and Dominique, all those guys. They did a great job. Marty Gilliard getting booed after a dance. Hope you took it the right way. All in fun. All in fun. It was a great time. And those guys showed that they could kick it. It's so much fun. 215-339-6709. Beautiful day out here. Four players still to be released. Roster's got to get down to 75. It's business time. Very serious business time here for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, it's going to happen very soon, obviously. In fact, I'm sure the players have been told. It's a matter of getting the information out to the media. I mean, you could probably take a couple of these wide receivers. Maybe another cornerback, offensive lineman for sure. There's just a lot of bodies still here. And you want to make it a mix so you can have a good team out there on Thursday night without starters, without players. If you can possibly do it without players who you think are going to be vital parts of this rotation, that's the goal. All right, let's get back to the telephones, 215-339-6709. Michael in Miami joins us. Hi, Michael.
Dave, how you doing, brother?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, friend? Long time no talk.
Real long time no talk. Really great down here. Just overcoming this tropical storm.
Yes.
Wasn't so bad.
God bless. Okay.
Yeah, just very excited about this team. But I've been listening to a lot of Philadelphia media, and just watching the fans' reactions to Nick Foles, and I'm super excited about the guy myself. We have Michael Vick right now. And my thought about it is, let's focus on Michael Vick. Michael Vick is about to have a career year. Do we want him to stay healthy? Obviously, every team wants their quarterback to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You got to let him play his game, though. You got to let
him play. Whoa. What's his game, and where is evidence that he hasn't been playing his game or has been told not to play his game?
I'm not suggesting that.
Okay.
No, I'm not suggesting that the team is not telling him to play his game. I'm just saying, you know, we have an amazing quarterback who has certain talents. And the second that he starts second-guessing those talents is the second he takes away his own edge. So we just really want him to focus on his game, whatever that looks like, and allow that to happen. And it's just, you know, the media is just listening to the radio station. The media up there, it's either they're sensationalizing everything or they just have no freaking clue. I mean, it's preseason. We see a lot of great things about Nick Foles. He's looking great. He's doing everything right, that's for sure. But let's give the kid some time and not put some heavy expectations on him at this point. You know, let him develop.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're rushing a little bit on Nick Foles, but it's hard not to be excited. And I think, look, the way I look at the offense, Michael, there's a couple of things that concern me. The offensive line concerns me, for sure. I don't think they've played particularly well. I think Michael's awareness in the pocket is a bit concerning because I don't want him to take any hits. I mean, I want him to throw the ball away. But I think they'll try to move the pocket, and I think they'll get him out of the pocket, roll it, and they'll give him opportunities to make plays and use his legs. I don't think anybody wants him to not be Michael Vick in the because I think you have to really account for that as a defense.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You know, the defense for the most part and the offense both play vanilla in the preseason.
Yeah.
But is that the same for the offensive line?
No, I mean, I think, well, look, I'll tell you one thing I think. Yeah. I think that Jason Peters was so good. He made Evan Mathis really good. And that helped Jason Kelce and so on. And without Jason Peters, it's a big difference for everything on the left side of the line.
Yeah, big time.
You know, I think teams are going to attack guard to guard. King Dunlap will be okay. He doesn't dominate. He doesn't finish the blocks off as much as you'd like to see him, but he neutralizes.
What about tight end? How are you feeling about Clay Harbor?
I feel great about Clay Harbor. I really feel great about the skill position people here. I think there's a very good chance that the Eagles are going to keep Chris Polk as well as Bryce Brown. And I think that, you know, maybe they'll just run maybe one way of protecting Michael Vick a little bit more is to run the ball just a teeny bit more. I mean, this team should be able to run the football.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems like we're positioning ourselves to be that type of team, play option.
Yeah. And so, really, what it is if Vic comes to the line of scrimmage and he sees 8 men in the box, he's going to throw the ball. If he comes up to the line of scrimmage and sees 7 men in the box, he's going to run the ball.
Absolutely.
And just don't take hits. Just a little bit of restraint will go a long way for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's to an amazing season, a great time, and to a championship.
Michael, thank you.
All the best to you, Dave, and your family.
Good hearing. All right, speaking of Michael Vick, last night he met reporters after you know the flight, and I said he felt great. So he's back on the practice field, and he's ready to go. Now, the question that we asked earlier, a hot topic question, was not really about Michael Vick. We know that he's the starting quarterback here. The question we ask to you, and the hot topic today, is who's the backup behind Michael Vick? I believe we have some answers, and I believe the answers are going to be pretty consistent here. Let's see what some of the Eagles fans have to say about that. Who should be the number two quarterback? Go to @Eagles or @EaglesInsider and use the hashtag EaglesLive. Number two quarterback is Nick Foles without question. He's poised in the pocket, is a pocket passer. Okay. At Lee Oakton, Virginia, rookie Nick, I pity the Foles. Huh. Should be our number two QB. Just don't know who three is. Don't know either. At DB Sports Talk. DB Sports Talk. Clearly should be Nick Foles. He was dominant in the preseason. So far, Eagles Live plus DJX is actually used with him. Yeah, the last game, 4 catches, 82 yards for DeSean Jackson. That was really good to see. So we're going to keep checking those out. Eagles Live, we want you to send us your hot topic responses to @Eagles, @EaglesInsider, and use the hashtag EaglesLife. Now, we talked about the offensive line. Jason Kelce and Evan Mathis are going to start in the locker room with Evan Mathis. Signed the big contract this year. It's been kind of rotating to his left. It's been King Dunlap. It's been Demetrius Bell. At the moment, it's Dunlap. Not Jason Peters. We know that. So, what do the Eagles, how do they feel about that whole left side of the offensive line? In the locker room, it's Eagles left guard Jason. I'm sorry, Eagles left guard Evan Mathis.
So now that the preseason action's sort of over for you, what have your thoughts been on, you know, your play and the play of the line so far?
I think we've done a lot to grow as a line. We put a lot of work in training camp and also in the OTAs and mini camp, you know, just to focus on getting better daily. And our offensive line coaches, Howard and Eugene, have done a great job of facilitating that. And you know, I'm looking forward to big things from us. You know, we're never going to lose the mentality that we need to keep getting better every day.
This is sort of your first full offseason with the team. How do you feel like you've grown from training camp to now?
Training camp this year to now? What do you mean?
As a player, like, how do you feel like you've progressed?
There's a lot of things that I was doing throughout the year last year that I just couldn't perfect. You know, it was kind of sloppy, and I would default to old techniques sometimes. This year, you know, Howard's been really hounding me about fixing certain techniques, and I've been really just working my ass off to do that. So I mean, I thought there's a lot of techniques that I've gotten a lot better at, and I'm continuing to do that throughout the year.
Obviously, there's been a little bit of a change at left tackle. What do you think King gives you going into the season here?
King is a very smart guy. He's incredibly gifted, and he's a mammoth of a human being. I had an experience with him last year. We started a game with each other against Buffalo. He played very well. He's a good communicator. I've spent plenty of time with him there in training camp, but you know, I'm looking forward to big things from King.
So you don't feel like there's going to be too much of a drop-off going into this year?
No. I mean, we don't have the best left tackle in the league out there but like we did last year, but King is definitely more than a sufficient replacement.
Do you feel like there are any goals that you've set for yourself this season that you want to sort of meet?
Oh, there's plenty of them as a team and as a player, but I'm just taking those one day at a time, and those are in my mind, in my head.
All right, some breaking news for you. The Eagles getting down to the 75-man roster limit. This is how they did it. Jason Peters placed on the reserve football injury list, as was Patterson, actually a different kind of list, a reserve non-football illness list. Guard Mike Gibson placed on the injured reserve list with a minor injury. So I guess he's out for the season on the injured reserve. And wide receiver Jamel Hamler released. Peters and Patterson are eligible to return to practice with the team anytime between week 6 and week 9 of the regular season. So the only cut was Jamel Hamler. And the roster's down to 40, it's to 75. Peters goes on reserve non-football injury list. Patterson goes on reserve non-football illness list. Gibson goes on IR. So Peters and Patterson not giving up on either player for this year. That's really exciting with Pat Peters. At least there's giving up. They're saying, hey, there's a chance. There's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. So how much of a chance, we don't know. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to go back into the locker room with Jason Kelce. Eagles Live is the name of the show. Eagles down to 75 players. Peters on the reserve non-football injury list. Patterson on the reserve non-football illness list. Guard Mike Gibson placed on injured reserve. Wide receiver Jamel Hamler released. Coming back with more Eagles Live, I'm Dave Spadaro. Coming back to the NovaCare Complex in just a moment.
If we said a pledge of allegiance before each game, this is what it would be. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown. 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be free if it's good for me, but this good thing comes along and I can't deny too long.
Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Feel good to be back out in the water.
Oh, fishy, fishy.
Yeah, it'll be, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. No, that's like life-changing.
Nnamdi understands that we need people like him to really have an impact on our life.
When you have a child, you really get a new view on life. I'd never had changed a diaper before, but it's not as bad as I thought.
Bear Blitz, get you some.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
I think, not for any particular reason, I think it just fits the beard pretty well.
It's a little fashion statement for
you. Yeah. I usually try and not wear what everybody else is wearing.
Will this be a part of your season-long attire?
I can't comment on that yet. We'll see.
Now, are you like highlighting the mustache now, or is that...
No, that's natural.
Okay.
Two-tone.
I got to make, you know, with you, I never know.
Oh, yeah. No, no. No bleach. It's a natural... I guess tigerish tint to it.
Can you talk about, you do like to keep things interesting in here and keep things a little bit light. Can you talk mm-hmm. about how that affects the other guys and you get from a lot?
We spend enough time being serious. I mean, every single time we're out on the field, every time we're in meetings, you don't really have time to goof around. So when you get those moments where you can kind of cut back and goof off with one another, you still like to do that as well. So. When we're not in meetings and we're not out there on the field, we like to goof around as much as we can.
From your vantage point, Jason, how do you feel like the second team interior guys are coming along?
Oh, they're doing a good job. Very good job, especially the interior guys. It'll be interesting to see what takes place after Thursday and who ends up staying on the team, but I think that there's a number of guys that we have waiting in the wings in the interior line that can get the job done if needed.
Where do the ones go on the offensive line? I mean, your time in the preseason here is done. You've had a little bit of movement with mm-hmm. King and Demetrius. Just talk about the feel you have and the confident feeling going into the opener.
Well, we've improved every week so far. Each game we've gotten better, and I think that's always the goal in the preseason. You just keep honing in and getting as close to perfection as you can. I mean, that's what offensive line really tries to do. They try and be as close to perfect as you can be. And, each week we've made less and less mistakes. And, I'm confident with us heading into the first game that we're going to be able to get the job done this year. And, I'm looking forward to this first game against Cleveland.
Jason, I'm sure you're planning to get a chance. Backup center competition, what do you make out of the guys?
There's really three guys in that competition, and I think all three of them, if needed, could play. Julian right now, the only thing that I would put a negative on him is he had the one bad snap in the game. Steve Valos has obviously done it before in this league. He's done it for 5 years. He's played backup, and he's started games before. And then Dallas, he's been there all offseason. He's been here for 3 years. So, I'm comfortable with any three of those guys if we needed to have them play center.
All right, so to review, and just so that we're all clear here on the moves the Eagles just made to get down to 75 players, Jason Peters goes on the reserve non-football injury list. Mike Patterson goes on the reserve non-football illness list. Both of those players still eligible to play this season and to return to practice between week 6 and week 9 of the regular season. So that's very encouraging. Mike Gibson goes on IR with with a hip flexor injury, and wide receiver Jamel Hamler waived. So got to get down to 53 by Friday night, 9 o'clock. 22 spots to go. All right. Let's go to the telephones, talk to Gary in Southwest Florida. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Dave. What's going on?
Everything's good. How are you?
The D-line. Oh, my God.
Yeah, got it. Listen, I mean, they take off. They go up the field. Teams are going to try to run on that, so the Eagles have to be good against the run.
What do you think is going to be a more difficult decision, figuring out who to keep on the D-line or who to keep in the, as far as running backs?
Well, I think the D-line. I think the Eagles, if they wanted to, they could, for example, keep four halfbacks and not a fullback if they wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do at D-line. I don't know how they're Patterson's, goes on his on the PUP or the injured the reserve list. Can you keep 11 linemen?
Oh my God, I hate to give up any of them.
I know.
Really.
I know. They're all really
terrible.
Good.
Hey, had you still taken names for the D-line?
Sure.
Bird Heard.
The Bird Heard. I think that's a good one. I've heard The Perfect Storm. That was a good one.
Yeah. I like The Bird Heard. Yeah. But, hey, they're going to make their own name for themselves. I think it'll probably come up in the media somewhere, and someone will pick it up and keep it up. So.
Well, hey, Gary, if they do, we'll say we heard it here first.
So have we learned to play a screenplay, you think, well enough to do anything this year? I think it all depends on how we defend the reaction of this D-line to the offenses that the offenses are going to have. There's no question they're going to screenplay us to death.
I agree. Screens and draws. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. So the linebackers are everything. I guess they're the most important guys on the field.
Yeah, Michael Kendricks has shown that he's very good, very aggressive, get to the football. I think it's hard to live on screens and draws.
He has a few lessons to learn. Now I love him.
Yeah, well, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
My
prediction up to 13-3.
Ooh.
I hate to say that.
Oh, I like that. D'Amico's got to play better than I think we've seen in the preseason, but I think he's a veteran. And
he's a gamer, and he just knows how much he can do in the preseason without killing himself so that he's fresh.
Yes, yes.
I like that theory.
Yes. So, hey, Gary, why not? I'm going to go with it, and we'll find out September 9th if I'm right.
Well, we're hoping.
Yeah.
Hey.
I agree. Hey, man, thanks for the call. I don't think that September 9th game will be anywhere near as easy as the game the other night. But I do think Kendricks is the real deal. We've talked a little bit about Michael Vick. Last night we had a chance to talk to him after the Eagles flight night. And again, we're all focused on Vick and not only how he feels, but how does he get the offense in sync on the same page in such a short period of time? This is what he had to say.
No,
It was great to get back out there, great to throw the ball around, get back in the huddle with the guys and just have some fun, enjoy the fans, enjoy the game of football.
Michael, how do you get sharp between now and September 9th?
Just to continue to practice hard each and every day, continue to study film, and the most important thing for me is throw, you know, movement in the pocket, get a good feel of what you know, I need to do to be successful out in the field and in order to help this team win.
That's all. Thank you. Michael Vick feeling good. He'll be on the practice field today. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Ken. Who? John. Jonathan. I'm sorry. Jonathan in Philadelphia. Hey, Jonathan. Sorry about that.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? I haven't talked to you in about almost 7 months.
Yeah, where you been?
I don't know. Just being prepared for the season and seeing if the Eagles actually talk the talk this year, and especially Michael Vick.
Yeah. Well, it's a big year in a lot of ways, isn't it? I mean,
It really is, and yeah. I'm sad about Patterson. It's sad what happened to him, but just not to have him in a lineup. We need him. He's the one of the original leaders. I understand Colin Jenkins is one, but Patterson is kind of the silent heart on that defense.
It's good that Cedric Thornton has emerged. It's good that Fletcher Cox looks like he's going to be a terrific player. The question to me is, does Cedric Thornton earn playing time? Does Antonio Dixon make the team? Is Derek Landry as dominating as he appears to be? Because the guy's killing it out there.
How many D linemen do you think they'll
generally? It would be 5 and 5.
5 and 5, 10.
But there's six really good defensive ends and probably 5 defensive tackles.
So if they're going to go heavy on the D line, where are they going to go light at?
I don't know. Safety?
I don't think so because I love Kirk Coleman. I think Nate Allen is primed for the year he was supposed to have after his rookie year. He's supposed to be a big player this year. But Kirk Coleman, I just don't – he's like Michael Vick. He's almost – he plays big, but we all know his physique is not big. And we, you know what I mean? I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want him to get hurt because he want to just smash you. That's what he want to do. But I don't want him to get hurt that way. You know what I mean?
Well, I – the safety position – I know you want – who are your backup safeties here?
Honestly, if I could, I would keep – one project, and regardless, I was Sean Otagwe.
Well, Otagwe's been hurt. I mean, hopefully he plays on Thursday night. We haven't seen enough of Oshimago Otagwe. I can't...
And I know, and that's the set. Now, what about this? The quarterback situation, would you keep Vic would you keep Kafka? I mean, Trent Edwards over Kafka, even though we know Edwards is a good quarterback, but he's prone to make mistakes, and Kafka's unproven.
I want to see what he does. In this game on Thursday.
Yeah, it's his game. Is Kev? I think is Trent Edwards' job to lose the third quarterback, but I think Kev has something to say about that. He should because you've been here 2 years, but you just can't let somebody come in and just take your, you know.
You got to get on the field.
I know. One more thing before I'm going to let you go, Dave.
Yeah.
Is a situation in Philadelphia that they're trying to brew. They're trying to brew this starting quarterback issue and trying to start a controversy.
Okay.
I think if Michael Vick learns to throw the ball away in critical moments instead of reverting back to instinct, he will be fine. But you know Philadelphia. Soon as he gets hurt or throw a couple bad passes, they're going to be screaming for Nick Foles because he looks like he can throw an accurate pass. It's all about accuracy. It's not about anything where Vick can do as far as athleticism. They love accuracy.
All right, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You're talking about a quarterback who's been in the league 10, 11 years, Michael Vick?
Yeah.
And you're asking if he can learn to throw the ball away?
I want him to be smart in his decisions. When he took a meaningless hit on a meaningless bomb to DeSean Jackson in a preseason game. Like, Vick, it's a preseason game against the Browns. Just throw the ball away. That player is going to be there in a regular season. I understand if he gets hurt on a Michael Vick play, but in the pocket – it's kind of preventable. Your offensive line, they might get beat, but just throw the football away.
Well, but you're asking, again, just think about it.
You're asking
a quarterback who's been in the league for a decade if he can do the most basic survival
maneuver. Think about this, Dave. Michael Jordan changed his whole game in the end of his career when he didn't have his athleticism. Michael Magic Johnson did. Those are basketball players, but John Elway did. These guys, Steve Young, he changed his game when he knows, listen, I can't keep going out there and getting taken unnecessary hits. I got to learn how to throw the football from the pocket, to slide, to evade, to create my own windows. but not take meaningless hits and throw the football away. Yeah. If he doesn't learn that, then I don't think we have a chance to even.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Jonathan. I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks and months and months and months. I mean, is Michael Vick going to change his game? No. Is he going to throw the ball away? Remains to be seen. Is he going to slide? Well, he slid last week, and he slid head first. I mean, I think Michael Vick is Michael Vick. It's what's made him a great player. At this point in his career, though, there's got to be some restraint. Will he offer that restraint? I don't know. I mean, when we get to the regular season and the juices are flowing and he's in the heat of the battle, is he going to nimbly step out of bounds? Or is he going to try to take it upfield for another 5 yards? Because I've been doing that my whole career. Look, we all hope he steps out of bounds. All right, let's go to California to talk to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good afternoon. Or in your case, good morning.
Hey, Dave. What's going on?
Everything's good. How are you?
All right. All right. Got some time off here between stuff, so.
Welcome.
I'll call in and see what's going on there in Philly.
Hey, man. It's a good time. You know, it's a very exciting time. It's the last week of the preseason. One game to go. Cuts are made to 75. Jason Peters, still the chance. A chance that he plays this year. And I know it's a long shot, but he's not on IR, so there's still a chance.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play, but I know with what happened to him, that's a really big thing. So, I mean, I'd like to see him out there on the field, but I just don't think he'll make it.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to take the positive approach rather than the negative approach. We'll see who's right. But, yeah, Jason Peters makes a huge difference. He's a big man. You'd think that it would be a longer recovery on that Achilles tendon. So he's got another, 2 months to get right.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles will see.
And then Mike Patterson is on the non-illness list.
He's on a reserve non-football illness list. So he's in the same boat.
Yeah.
After week six, and I'm sure Colt Anderson will go on the same thing.
Yeah.
After week six, you are able to be... to join practice between week 6 and week 9. After week 9, if you're not practicing, team makes a decision on you. Activate, release, or IR. I think that's right. Yeah. So they still retain the right to Jason Peters and the opportunity that he plays this year.
Yeah.
All right.
And then how far along is Colt Anderson and his recovery?
Yeah, not as far along as I thought he would be. I think he'll be right around that time coming back in week 6, week 7 to get on the practice field to show that he's got his speed back. And, the Eagles may add him to the roster for the second half of the season, a little boost down the stretch, certainly on special teams.
Oh, yeah, because he's a beast on special teams.
He is a beast on special teams. Great guy. But there's no Colt Anderson for the first half of the season, I predict. I predict he goes on the reserve footballers, or the PUP list, whatever it's going to be. And somebody's going to have to step up and make plays on special teams.
Because I know another guy that's really big on special teams, but he's still out as a Riley Cooper.
Yep. He'll be there. He'll be there week one.
He'll be there week one, yeah.
Yeah,
and
we'll
then also, isn't Casey Matthews really big on special teams?
Yeah. I'm not sure. He may practice this week. I don't know that. We're going to actually go into the locker room and talk to him shortly. Casey Matthews has got that hamstring injury, and you can't make the football team. Or I'm sorry, he's got the high ankle sprain. Can't make the football team if you're hurt. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. You got it. All right, have a great day. Thanks for calling in. Hey, fans, we love you. We support you. You support us. We want you to support your fellow fan. ESPN has a Hall of Fans contest. The top 10 fans in the country, all sports. An Eagles fan is in that top 10. He needs your help. Take a look at this piece and help out your fellow Eagles fan.
Hi, I'm Brent Estock, and I belong in the Hall of Fans, and I'm going to show you why. Come with me. Over here in this room here, which we like to call the Tuckerton Club. This is where we used to get together and watch our Philadelphia Eagle games on Sundays. We got the bar, we got all the memorabilia down here, all my Philadelphia Eagle stuff. In the beginning, we would watch our Eagle games right here in the bar room and everything. This is where it all started, right here. As you know, every stadium needs a locker room. Of course, on game day, everybody visits the locker room right in here, and if you turn to your right there, you'll see why with the with our urinal. So once game time's ready, everybody comes in from out of the driveway where we've been tailgating before games, and we come in here, everybody gets their seats, and I'm going to take you in, I'm going to show you the Brent. This is the Brent. This is the room that we built. This is going to be the ninth season. It used to be my garage in here. I wanted to have like a remembrance of Veterans Stadium. Our season tickets that I had that I shared with some fellows of mine were in the 700 level, up at the Crazies. I built my 500, my 600, my 700 level, which is up where I'm at, up in the owner's suite, packing in on a Sunday, anywhere from maybe 20 to 30 people or so. Some of the stuff that we have in here, seats from Veterans Stadium right here, all kinds of bobbleheads and stuff, a signed shoe from Brian Dawkins.
Well, we all think he's crazy at times. I like to go along the lines that he's passionate for his team, but there are times where you just have to sit back and you're like, yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes I do sit up at nighttime thinking about this kind of stuff, and which just makes me even more crazy of a fan, I guess. We created what we call the Daily Brent. It's a newsletter that everybody gets on a Sunday, and these are just some of the copies of the Daily Brent. Everybody's got their own penalty flags. You know, on game day, if somebody thinks there's a flag, next thing you know, you just see flags flying all over the place. So actually, a couple years ago, everybody's like, so what are you doing for opening day, Brent? And I said, we're going to probably have a flyover. And so we got decals here for the ceiling here, so they're flying right over top of the stadium on a flyover. Did you get this over here, too? The unknown receiver, T.O. I love my Philadelphia Eagles. And I think, as you can see, with everything that I've done here, some people have said I got way too much time on my hand. I go a little overboard. To me, not really. Because to me, one of my passions, one of my love is the Philadelphia Eagles. Football team, and this is the way that I express it. I just enjoy football. I enjoy my Philadelphia Eagles, and I think that's what kind of separates me from the typical fan.
Eagles fans, here's your chance to meet the newest member of the Philadelphia Eagles and Angry Birds flock, the mighty Philadelphia Eagle. It's the Meet the Mighty Philadelphia Eagle presented by Coke Zero. Go to philadelphiaeagles.com/backtofootball to see where he'll appear. Take a picture with the Eagle, upload it to the Eagles' official Facebook page, and you could win Eagles season tickets. See philadelphiaeagles.com for the official rules.
Well, the kids wanted a puppy, but they can be really expensive. So to save money, I just found him a possum.
Dad, I think he's dead.
Probably just playing possum. There he is.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go. Wow,
wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Thank you. Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's the NovaCare Complex. We are live with Eagles Live. We're back tomorrow. Tuesday. Wednesday, no show. Thursday, we start our game coverage. It starts at 7 o'clock with a kickoff show. Then, hey, yeah, follow me at Dave Spadaro. Thank you, Fran. Then we've got, you know, a little mix in a little this or that for the game. Stats, photos, you know, you never know what you're going to find. And then, of course, the PhiladelphiaEagles.com postgame show presented by Rico. 215-339-6709. Steve. Oh, 6 o'clock for the kickoff show. That's right. It's a 6:30 kickoff. 6:30 kickoff. The preseason's over. Let's start the games for real. Steve in D.C. joins us. Hello, Stevie.
Ah, Dave. What's up, man?
It's all good. How you doing?
I'm ready for the season. You know, we got these little kinks that we have to get out.
But, oh, yeah.
This is the love of football right here.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's some kinks. I mean, O-line, yeah. Too many breakdowns on defense. You know, there are just too many big plays against his defense that concerns me.
I like to go into the season. This is a long season, Eagles fans. Everybody needs to understand that. You got to take it one week at a time. And, I mean, I'm glad that we see these kinks now because we got to work on it now so we could, you know, travel down the road.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs here. I'll tell you what's interesting. I think the number – I talked to Howie Roseman before the game on Friday night. I think he said that there are between 22 and 27 players on this roster who will be ages – I believe he said 25 and younger. That's pretty amazing.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be around for a long time.
Well, certainly, and if you believe that the kid is the real deal quarterback –
yeah.
You know, you could certainly think that you have a chance to be pretty good for a long time.
I mean, in my personal opinion, what I have seen so far, I would put Nick Foles at number 2 quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
I like number 3 quarterback is interesting, Dave. I like Trent Edwards has been impressive.
Yes,
what do you
has.
Think?
He's been very impressive. He's been very professional. He is not blown away by anything that he's seen. At the same time, I know they believe in Mike Kafka. He was a fairly high draft pick. They've invested a couple of years in him. They think he's a coach on the field, very intelligent guy. So, I mean, he's going to play on Thursday night, I think. So we'll see what he does.
Hey, it's going to be a tough decision, but I'm with the Eagles no matter what. One thing that worries me, I was on Twitter with Zomp last night. We were just going back and forth.
Scary.
We were kind of worried about this short yardage thing, man. It just seems like sometimes when we do this short yardage thing, we line up and the defense knows exactly what's about to happen.
Yeah.
It's like we're predictable down there.
The Eagles' numbers in short yardage last year were good. The Eagles' numbers in third and 4, 5, 6 were not good. So third 1-2, they were pretty darn good. I mean, look, they've got 3 running backs at least on this roster who can gain the yardage. They've been very good in the red zone in preseason.
Okay.
I'm going to take those as encouraging signs.
Okay.
And agree with you that they've got some work to do. No question.
Hey, it's a kink. We just got to get better. That's all.
Absolutely.
And one more question. I was on Twitter saying. What happened with Nate Allen? I heard he hurt his hamstring.
Yeah, a little tweak of the hamstring. I think he's okay, though.
Okay, good. So most of all, right now, I'm happy because no big-time season injuries, knock on wood. That's all I can ask for, and hopefully Vic will be ready to go. Hopefully he can stay healthy for the whole season.
I'm with you, man.
We got one more. We got one more preseason game. Never mind. I'm already pumped and ready to give my prediction for the first game.
Yeah, man. We're not there yet. We are getting there.
All right, man. Well, Dave, you have a good day, man. A good Eagles day.
Yes, Steve-O, thank you very much for the call. We are going to have a great Eagles day. We already are having a great Eagles day. You know, one of those players kind of on the roster bubble is Casey Matthews, second-year player. Has the high ankle sprain. Need to get an update. So when I need to get an update, what do? I go in the Eagles locker room and I find out. You can do the same thing here as we take you into the Eagles locker room Eagles linebacker Casey Matthews talking about how he feels and is Thursday night a possibility.
How's it feel? It feels pretty good. It's I'm almost there. There's just a little stiffness in it, and they're just trying to get that out, and then I should be ready by week one. So that's what they've been telling me. So
it sounded yesterday when Andy was talking that it was going to be a stretch to be back for week one.
I ran out there, what was it? We played on, when did we play? Friday. I ran out there on Saturday. It felt, you know, it was just stiff, but it felt if I had to play, I could.
It's going to be pretty frustrating. You want to make your case for playing time, not to be able to be out there in the preseason, right?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, especially something I'm not really used to. I haven't been out too long with an injury before, but just got to bounce back from it. I mean, Juan told me I was having a good training camp before that and just got to bounce back, just keep my head in it, and can't really, you know, you don't kind of just want to fold, you know, if camp was done, you just don't want to, you know, write it off and just, you know, just kind of cruise through it. But, yeah, you just got to keep your head in it, stay focused, and, you know, keep up with the defense.
Are there ways that you can sort of get better in other ways without being out there?
Just taking mental reps, walkthroughs, stuff like that. But I mean, it's tough actually not – obviously the physical reps are going to be the most important. That's tough not getting those, but you know, you just got to, again, just stay in it mentally.
A high ankle sprain is one of those things that can often linger throughout the season. What goes into that? Have you had it before?
I have not. It was new because I thought it was just a sprain, yeah, because I mean, it didn't swell up, and
first day you didn't seem too concerned about it either.
Because I went out to practice, and all of a sudden, I couldn't push off it. But it felt fine walking. And then, yeah, I've never had it before, and then I didn't get an MRI until 4 days after, and then I found out it was pretty serious. So, you know, once I heard that, then you know, I really needed to attack the rehab and just try to get back as quick as I can.
But is it the type of thing that you think can affect you throughout the year? You think once you're out there, you're out there?
You know, they said it could linger, but because, you know, they said no matter how good your ankle feels, it's always going to, he guarantees you're going to tweak it again. It's going to feel the same, but the pain will go away within a matter of, yeah, minutes. But and then they said eventually it's just going to go away completely. But, You know, it's tough to judge, but I'm trying to get in, you know, the trainer's head and trying to get back out there as soon as I can.
Most of your reps in training camp came in the middle, but are the outside spots in your mind, at least, learning those positions?
Definitely. I mean, during OTAs and early on in training camp, he just wanted me to learn all three. That way, you know, that would be the best chance to get on the field if something happens. Or obviously, knowing all three positions, you know, it doesn't hurt. But, you know, they make so many changes to the lineup that, I mean, you got to be ready for any of them.
All right, so that is Casey Matthews. We'll find out from him, you know, where he's at physically as we go through the week here and prepare for Thursday. Now, a roster battle we haven't talked a whole lot about that I think is very important is the punter spot. The incumbent is Chaz Henry. Second-year player from Florida, having a fine camp, good, very talented player, young, has to be more consistent. Outstanding holder. In the other corner, the former Cowboy, veteran, great resume, big leg, has kicked the ball extremely well in this preseason. Also a holder, maybe not to the level of Henry, Matt McBrier. The latter, McBrier, is the one that we caught up with in the locker room. Comes down to the final game as we thought it would. I'm not sure anybody really knows who's in the lead. Matt McBrier talks to the media.
What is this week like for you going into the final preseason game and everything with your job hanging in the balance?
I'm looking forward to it, really. Actually, it's been a great preseason so far for me. I've said this before, that you know, I really didn't think I'd get into a training camp this year, and to get the opportunity that you know, I've gotten here has been wonderful, and you know, I'm just really looking forward to playing once again on Thursday and hopefully putting up a good performance.
Even though you had the surgery, why didn't you think that you would actually make a training camp this year?
Oh, look, I didn't think I'd be healthy enough by the time camp rolled around. I was sort of had my head set on sort of mid-season, and saw a lot of improvement early in July, and for me it was just sort of thrilling to get signed and to get into camp.
How far do you think you've come along in the weeks since you've been here?
Yeah, fair way. Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot of kicking before I got here, so I'd like to think that I've improved quite a lot. I feel pretty confident in what I can do now, and then, you know, I'm almost back to what I, you know, what it, well, my foot's almost back to what it used to be, and my kicking is getting there as well.
You've shed the brace.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I shed that probably. I played with it in the first preseason game, and so the last two games I played without it, and it's been fine.
How about the holding aspect? Mm-hmm. I know that you and Chaz have been mixing in there, and that's a huge part of the punter job here. Right. How has that come along, and having to get on page with John and Alex in such a short amount of time?
Yeah, good, good. It's the first time I've had to work with a different snapper for a while. So, I had the same snapper in Dallas my basically whole career there. So, really just getting familiar with John snapping and. I believe Alex is pretty, comfortable with either of us holding at the moment. So that's going well.
You and Chaz have developed a friendship off the field.
Yeah.
Does that make this that much tougher on a week like this when you know that the final cuts are going to be made?
I don't think so. No, I think there's a lot of those relationships in this locker room, and that's just kind of how it goes. I mean, you try to help each other out, and I think he's had a really good camp as well. So, I wish him the best, and I also, hope to do as well as I can, and we'll see which direction they go in.
Do you think you've shown enough to prove that you should win the job?
I'm trying to show as much as I can. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just hoping that, I continue to progress, and hopefully it is enough.
You've been here before. How many years have you've been in this spot before? Another punter is still here. I mean,
right.
could you tell me how many times you've been to this point? Maybe where there's another guy still here, or
like in the last preseason game.
Yeah.
Look, it hasn't happened too often. Probably my first camp in Denver, and which was 10 years ago now. And then that was probably the last time it's come down to the last game.
Yeah.
So, it's different, but it's also, it's been good for me too. I've been trying to get back into it all, and to have competition the whole way through is actually, that's sort of, I believe it's brought the best out in what I can do at the moment.
Yeah. If you had to put a percentage as to where you're at right now, would you be able to guesstimate where you're at?
Look, I think I'm kicking just about at full tilt. My foot's not quite there yet. It's really just comes down to sort of, my balance is still a little bit shaky.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's pretty good. So, and it just keeps progressing every, week or so. And that's, that's been really, that's been a great sign for me, because for a long time there, it didn't progress at all.
Coming right down to the wire at the punter position. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Tampa and talk to Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
How you doing, man?
Hey, big thing for me down here is last year, the tackling in the secondary, what are you seeing there? Are they teaching better skills? Last year, Austin Wild jumping on people's helmets, and is the secondary tackling better?
They certainly didn't in the Pittsburgh game.
Okay.
I think it's gotten better since then, though.
Okay.
I mean, but I agree with
that, because last year it just seemed every game they're tackling on the shoulder pads, on the helmet.
I agree with you. I thought that it was a lack of it being physical, being interested in being physical. I mean, it was a lot of Olay tackling last year.
Exactly.
And it kind of reminded me of myself when I was a kid. They've got to, and I think Todd Bowles is really an important part of what he's trying to teach people.
And that's right, he's there now. That's right. I forgot about that, right?
He wants them to be tougher.
Right.
And he wants them to be more interested in playing that physical game. So I would expect it.
Yeah.
I don't think Namdi nor Dominique are what you'd call, bloody their noses kind of cornerbacks.
They got it's silly, man. They got to get their heads in there.
Yeah, well, they're not the heads. They've got to tackle, wrap up, and keep moving their legs.
Right. And the other thing, too, I'm from down here, Dave. I'm looking at I bought tickets for the Tampa game. You know as well as I, December 9th, he's not going to make it. I mean, the guy is just not going to make it.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I'm not going to sit here and say, boy, Michael Vick's not going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, we all want Michael Vick to be there.
You know, why in that preseason game? Why does he take a hit like that? You know what I mean?
Well, I agree. I mean, look,
coached on that?
The Steelers game was a fluke injury. This one was avoidable. I mean,
that's
throw it away.
Right.
Throw it away. Don't open yourself up and throw a 50-yard pass.
And that slide that he did was just, that wasn't, what was it, a head-first slide, I think?
It was a head-first slide, yeah.
All right, man. Well, listen, I hope to see him here December 9th. It should be a really good game here.
I will be there.
All right, I'll definitely look for you.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, all of our eyes are all over Michael Vick and plays like this. Now, I wonder, in a regular season game, would he roll out of there and just break the pocket and keep running? I mean, I'm guessing that. I would hope that he would do that because he just can't live this way anymore. Got to avoid the hits. All right, let's take a look at the news of the day. Eagles get down to 75 players, and the roster is set for another few days, and then it goes down to 53. Here's how they got to 75. Offensive tackle Jason Peters gets moved to the non-football injury list, so there is still the hope that he plays this year. Mike Patterson gets placed on the reserve non-football illness list. There's still hope that he plays this year. Both of those players are eligible to return to practice with the team between the weeks of 6 and 9 of the regular season. And then at that time, you make a decision on him. Mike Gibson, offensive lineman, placed on injury reserve with an injury to his hip. And then wide receiver Jamel Hamler waived. Good luck to Jamel. Good kid. Thought he showed some good things while he was here. Just a deep position for the Eagles. Going to be real tough to make it for any of these guys. It's just a good spot. We are back tomorrow at noon, Eagles Live. Remember, Thursday is the game. It's a 6:30 kickoff, so make sure you tune in.